Looks like I'm going to be up here for a long time, but I'm not. At least I don't think I'm going to be up here a long time. I'd like to share a thought. I was in prayer this last week, and the scripture came to my mind in prayer, and I feel like it was the Lord speaking to me and talking to me, and I've felt inspired with it, and I'd like to share in Joshua, the first chapter, in the first verse, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to thee, give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." And dropping down to verse 5, it says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." And in verse 9 he says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever goest." Anyway, this phrase, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. And I was thinking about how that God wants to lead us and direct us. And it's a beautiful picture to me how God has taken the time. These things were written aforetime for our learning. It was a literal earthly kingdom that God raised up and established. And their deliverance from Egypt was a type of deliverance from sin. Their going through the Red Sea was a type of baptism. But here's a whole land that God wanted them to possess. And I believe it's that way in our lives too. I believe the Lord can save us and forgive us and deliver us from the power of sin. And yet, many times there's still something that's lacking in us because of the ravages of sin or because of our makeup and personality. They're just things that God wants to add unto us and to give us in our walk with Him. And I believe that represents in the land of Canaan, them going forth and conquering the giants that were there. God increased them and God blessed them and the Lord helped them. And we don't have to turn there, but in Exodus it says, "I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land be desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land." So he gave them this promise and he told them they were going to go little by little, and I'm sure thankful that's in the scriptures. That's been an encouragement to me. We don't get saved and baptized and then have just everything, but we We grow in grace and knowledge, and the Lord adds things to our lives as we learn, as we go forward. And the comforting thing was, and is that the Lord was with them. I read a whole lot the other day in Joshua, and the Lord gave them instructions. He told them how to fight their battles. He told them what was in front of them. And I read them, and I was so impressed when they were getting ready to go. They were up against Jericho. The Lord had blessed them to cross the Jordan River by a miraculous deliverance, by stopping the waters, and they went over on dry ground. But Joshua was surveying Jericho, and it said he saw a man with a sword drawn. And he said, "Are you for us or against us?" And he said, "I am captain of the Lord's host." And Joshua fell on his face and prostrate. And I believe that was the Lord Jesus. You know, because in all the scriptures in John, Revelation, when they fell down, if it was an angel, he said, "Worship God, not me." He always directed, but he said, "I'm captain of the Lord's host." And that encouraged, and the chapter, according to Adam Clark, is divided in the wrong place between, I believe it's the fifth and sixth chapter, because the end of the fifth chapter, you hear that he meets this man with his sword drawn, and he tells him, let me look here real quick. He says, "And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. And it's like it's cut off. The next chapter. And Adam Clark said this is just a real wrong. But it continues on in chapter 6. And he tells him what to do. How to fight the battle. He gives him instruction and tells him what to do. And the Lord was with his people when they relied upon him and they looked to him, the answer came. The Lord blessed them and gave them answers of how to fight their battles and how to be able to overcome. And when they followed those, it happened. The power of God was there, and the walls of Jericho came down, and they was able to conquer, you know, that mighty city. And all through there, just, they lost Ai, but they didn't even really inquire about Ai. It just reads that Joshua just said, "Send a few men because we don't want to bother the whole camp to go up. There's not very many up there." And that's the battle they lost. So after that, Joshua is, you know, they seek the Lord. They get instructions on what. And I believe the Holy Spirit can do that in our lives too. I believe the Holy Spirit, if we're open and we're desiring, the Holy Spirit can speak and inspire us and strengthen us. And He wants us to possess the land. He wants us to possess. Let's go now to, Matthew, the fifth chapter. In verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now that earth is land. They shall inherit the land. And I believe that the gospel of Christ is like the gospel of the Old Testament, that He would be with them to conquer. Now, we're not in a literal kingdom. There's many people that live and die happy in the Lord that don't ever have much land or don't have any land. But Jesus wasn't interested in land. But spiritual ground, He is. And that's what I believe He's referring to. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. They shall inherit spiritual ground, spiritual victories. And I want to read a little bit on Adam Clark's comment, he says, happy, blessed, happy, easy, those who are of a quiet, gentle spirit in opposition to the proud. We have a compound word in English which once fully expressed the meaning of the original, gentlemen. But it has now almost wholly lost its original signification. Our word meek comes from the old Anglo-Saxon mika, or I'm not sure how to pronounce the other word, but it says a companion or equal, because he who is of a meek or gentle spirit is ever ready to associate with the meanest of those who fear God, feeling himself superior to none. I really enjoyed that. The meek person, the one that is a companion, the one that has the love of God, they're going to possess ground. They're going to gain spiritual victory if we're listen to the Lord, and if we obey and respond to Him, God will lead us into places where we can gain spiritual victories in our life and be what He's calling us to be. He says, "For they shall inherit the earth." Under this expression, which was commonly used by the prophets to signify the land of Canaan, in which all temporal good abounded, Jesus Christ points out that abundance of spiritual good, which was provided for men in the gospel, besides Canaan, was a type of the kingdom of God. And who is so likely to inherit glory as the man in whom the meekness and gentleness of Jesus dwell? The meekness shall inherit the earth. And I believe the land, the good spiritual land, and God can help us to gain. In the song we sang in 300, it says, and this is a real encouragement too. In verse 2, he says, "I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years." Have you wandered in your spiritual life? I felt like I've done some wandering. I felt like I've made some circles. But this is really encouraging this afternoon. It says, "Often hindered in my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fears." And I believe we can all probably say that we've been hindered in our lives sometimes by doubts and fears. And that's why that first generation didn't possess the land, because they didn't believe God. Their doubts, their fears. They said, we're not able to go in and possess the ground. And that kept them from obtaining what God wanted them to have. And it says, "Often hindered in my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fears, broken vows and disappointments." Have you ever been disappointed with yourself? Have you ever been disappointed that maybe you haven't gained the ground that you thought you had gained? It said, "Thickly broken vows and disappointments, thickly sprinkled all the way." In other words, it almost sounds like you're on the verge of giving up hope. The struggle's been so great. But listen to what it says. It says, "But the Spirit led unerring." In other words, the Spirit was always there to pick us up, to help us to keep going, to give us hope that I can make it, I can get more ground, that I can make some changes by the help of the Lord, that my life can grow, that I don't have to be stagnated. All the mistakes, all the failures, the Spirit is leading, unerring. He's patient, and it's amazing to me, God doesn't give up on us. The Spirit is there to lead, unerring. In all of our humanity, He's still there. All we have to do is humble ourselves and, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me to gain this territory, this mountain. You remember Joshua said, give me this. I believe it was Joshua or Caleb. Maybe it was Caleb. He said, give me this mountain. He wanted that mountain. And he gained it. The Lord helped him. And I believe the Spirit of God can help us to gain spiritual ground. I hope we're encouraged this afternoon to allow the Lord to continue to lead us and to take us farther than we've gone before, and allow the Lord to work through us. But the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today, and I believe the Lord. And this is the land of Beulah. It's being married to Christ. It's being married to Christ. The union. Marriage is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I love to be at weddings. Sometimes when you have to take care of them, it's a little difficult. But I love to see a young man and a young woman exchange vows and give their lives together. And the blessing that comes from that, the crying children and all the responsibilities that go with it. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. Because they grow up and quickly, and they become responsible adults, and they become a real blessing. So the Lord wants us to not allow our personal, and I thought too, maybe what are our personal weaknesses? Do we have any personal weaknesses that we have? We want the Lord, the Spirit. We want to follow the Spirit and allow the Spirit to take us. And the thing is that we don't have to feel sufficient within ourselves. We don't have to feel capable within ourselves. All we need to do is step. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread, I've given it to you. It's going to be yours. Our faith. We want our faith to be able to step out. And as we do, the Lord sends. It's faith. It's God working with us. It's not us in our ability. It's not us in our own strength or willpower. But it's as us as we look to God. And I may not have all the answers, and I don't have all the answers. But as I step forward and inquire of the Lord, and I step forward and know to do the things that I do know to do, God will meet with me and He'll provide. He'll work something out. Just like He did in the Old Testament, and they were able to gain ground. I believe the Lord can help us, and He can help me. And I'm thankful today that God hasn't given up on me. I identify with that little song in the children's book that says, He's still working on me. They used to sing that in Springfield. Before we'd marry, we'd go up to Springfield to see Lee, and they sang that song over and over. He's still working on me. He is. He's still working. He's still moving, and He's still offering help and hope. And we want to be able to step in faith. I know sometimes the Jericho walls look giant and things look like an impossibility. You remember I shared this, but I believe I heard it from Brother Leslie. It was one of the ministers had a dream. And in their dream, there was a mountain right in front of them. There was no way around it. There was no way over the top of it. There was no way under it. But they said in their dream, as they lifted their hand up as high as they could get it, they saw a little crevice appear, something that they hadn't seen before. And I love that illustration, because he grabbed a hold of it and he pulled up and he didn't see anything beyond that. Okay, here I am. I've got one hold. Where's the next? There's nothing there. But as He lifted the other one up, that's our faith. That's our faith and confidence in God, Lord, and expectation. I'm looking to You. I'm trusting You to open it up. And I'm reaching up to You for Your help. You know, something appears in his dream. Another place appeared. And that's how he began to, as he reached up. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to believe in His power and His ability to help us when I feel insufficient. When the Jericho walls look so mighty and they look like they're not going anywhere, to just continue to look to God and keep lifting our faith up into Him, and He is able to work it out. And pretty soon, you know, He made some distance. He got down, being able to climb something that looked impossible. You know, the Lord can help us do some things that look impossible, that to our human mind we can't figure out. Lord, let's not limit the Holy One of Israel. Let's not limit God. He's not a human like we are. He's almighty and He's all powerful. And faith, believing and trusting and lifting our hands up to God, He's able to make something appear. And that's what we want. And He told, if I'm not mistaken, He told Joshua to go in this thy strength. To go in this thy strength. In other words, just go, and the Lord, will You put Your foot where Your faith is stepping out, the Lord will be with you and the Lord will help you and He'll undertake. It's a miracle to me because I believe also the Lord leads in paths of personal responsibility. There were different times, a few times that God said, you'll not need to fight in this battle. I'll take care of it. You don't need to fight. But most of the time, they had to do something. It wasn't their strength. It wasn't their ability. But God required something of them to do. And then He come in and accomplished the task, accomplished the purpose. And it's beautiful to me because we really can't do anything anyway. We can't do anything anyway in our own strength and our own ability, but the Lord can. The Lord can come in. If we go in our strength, we go in the name of the Lord. That's what Brother Jerry told Sister Marcia this morning. Go in the Lord's name. We go in the name of the Lord and He can help us and He can open up avenues. And He does have the answers to perplexing problems. The Lord has the answers for us. If we'll look to Him and lean on Him, He'll give us answers and He'll give us direction. And it was beautiful to me. I've read so much there in Joshua, and it just, nobody could stand against them. I mean, and then the scripture, he said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith is so important. We want to hold confidence in God, in His care, His love, His providence, we heard this morning, His provision. We want to believe in those things and trust in those things that the Lord is going to take care of us. He's going to see us through. He's promised. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And we don't want to accept the devil's lies. The devil can bring in all kinds of fears, doubts, unbelief. He tries to work havoc in our minds. He tries to stress us out, tries to worry us, tries to bother us. Even when we get down to pray sometimes. Have you ever got down to pray and it's just like, boom. You feel swallowed up. I did just not too long ago. It was just like the enemy came in. I didn't realize it was the enemy at first, but I got down to pray and it was like all these thoughts just started depressing, discouraging, disappointing. And then I realized, you know, that's the enemy. That's the devil. But Lord doesn't work that way. The Lord wants to bring hope. He wants to bring life. He wants to bring strength to our situation. And He can do that. I just want to encourage us today to possess the land. He said the meek shall inherit the land. The gospel, the promises of God, we want to hold on to those and possess what God has given to us and have an expectation that He will lead us, He'll take care of us, He'll work through our feeble humanity. But if we draw back with excuses, or we run the other way, or we just, to me, that's kind of following the way of the flesh when we see the giants. And David, when he went out to meet Goliath, all he had was that I'm sure he was good at a sling and a stone. He had used it before. I'm sure he practiced with it. But that's not where his trust and his confidence was. And he told Goliath, he said, you know, you're trusting in your God, your ability. He was a big, huge giant, had all this huge armor on and all this great. But David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. He had a sling and stone, but his trust was in God, that God would deliver him. And that stone, poof, it hit the mark. It hit exactly the place where it needed to hit to bring down Goliath. And David had 5 stones. Thought maybe I might miss the first one. I don't know what his thoughts were. But the Lord blessed that first throw, that first stone. I know that was the Lord. That wasn't David. That was the Lord that did that for David. And David wasn't trusting in his strength and his ability. You know, Hannah Smith, in her book, she says our insufficiency and our inadequacies, instead of being the greatest tool for the, and I'm not wording this exactly like she did, for the devil to use against us, it's our greatest asset. Our insufficiency is our asset, because it makes us depend upon God. We're not dependent on our strength, our skill, or our ability. We're depending upon the Lord to help us. And that's what we want. And that's what the Lord, and I want the Lord to work through my life. And I don't want to limit Him by unbelief. And I know He's got ground. I know I'm 60 years old. You believe that? It's hard for me to believe it. I'm 60. But there are still places that I can get. I'm not too old to fight and gain ground and territory. I'm not too set in my ways that I can't learn. I learn new things all the time. So we never can get to a place where we can't learn something new and allow the Lord to work through us in a greater way. I just appreciate the Lord's blessing to me and appreciate all that He's done and is doing.